Hello, welcome to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, along with my co-host, Kelsey Dudley. We're here bringing it to you live at another location here at the Zoo Gym on 1427 East Commercial Boulevard. Late, let's get into this show, bro. Kelsey, we're going to get into the show. Spectacular day. We got another... the guest we got today is going to be spectacular. When I talk about guests, I mean guests beyond... You can go ahead and call...
Okay, back. Here at the Tony Sands Show, you're with your co-host here, Kelsey Dudley, bringing you live sports talk here, live from the Zoo Gym. Tony, we're going to get into it, like you said, some of the top topics going on in sports, some of the hot things that are going on in sports. A lot of things with the Dallas Cowboys, of course, and we'll reach out to our man Bibbs on that later on. We have high school football coming in with some of the local top teams in high school. We're also going to speak to some of the players here on the high school side, where we can get some of the inside as far as that goes. And then also some of the college hot seat topics, some of the coaches that are out there on the hot seat, fire burning. Everything is on the coach's head. We don't know if he's going to stay around or be out of town.
Kelsey, also, it's Monday Night Football tonight. It's going to be a spectacular show. But I'm going to tell you, we got a special guest that we bring into the show. I played with this young man out in Arizona. Guy that, and not only that, his son is tearing up the grass in the NFL. We bring into the show Boyd Anderson's coach, Coach Eddie Brown. Coach, what's happening, bro?
Coach Brown, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm good. How you guys doing?
Oh, man, spectacular, man. Listen, anytime I read about Boyd Anderson, man, it puts a smile on my face, because I know, guess what? You are doing the right job over there for them young men. You are turning that program around. You're making that program relevant. Coach, just dig into some of the things that you have done in this offseason to make those kids believe in the philosophy that you are putting down. What are some of the things that you did this offseason?
I think the biggest thing that I did was I came in and I emphasized the philosophy of you show me good grades, I show you a good football team. So the first thing we did, we emphasized our study hall and just doing the right thing and being respectful young men inside the building. We started there. From there, they saw that I care about them. I love them. I'm in their corner, whether they do something bad or they do something good. It didn't matter. I was the same person no matter what. And from that, the kids poured into my philosophy. They started working their butts off in the classroom and on the field. With that, we were able to go to 7-on-7 every weekend. We went somewhere and we played. We competed. We went and worked out with Sly Johnson on Sundays. So we were doing that. I spent more time with our football team over the summer and since I took the job than I have with my own family. And thank God I have a really good wife that we're still married.
And, you know, we talked about that this summer when we put on the 7-on-7, to where your young men came out and participated in the 7-on-7 in Florida versus Texas. Now, and we talked about how patient a wife, a significant other, have to be when it comes to the job of coaching, because it is a high, high level job that takes a lot of coaches away from their families. What are some of the things that you do when you're away from coaching that you make sure that she understands how much you love her and the things that you are doing that are important to you also?
Well, I make sure I'm at home. I'm spending that time that she needs. Every Thursday, I do a spelling test with my girls. If they get 100%, I give them a dollar. If they miss every spelling test, every spelling word they miss, they got to give me 10 push-ups. So I'm doing those things. I'm playing sports with them. You know, when I'm at home, I got to do the things for them as well, so they are ensured that I love them as well. And it's just a perfect marriage because I have a football wife. You know, she grew up going to all the Iowa football games, so she understands, and she's just as excited about going to the football games and going to everything we're doing with the kids as I am. My daughters run on the field after every game. That's something that I make mandatory. I always want to walk off the field with them because what I'm doing is I'm also showing the kids that role model and what it takes to be a good husband, a good father. You know, I want to show them that opposed to tell them that. If they see my wife at all the practices and coming and being a part of it, they see my daughters, they see how I treat them, it only helps our young men that I get a chance to work with every day. It only helps them grow as men so one day they could be a good husband and a good father as well. I think that's a part of my job as their coach, as their mentor, not just to teach football, but teach all the life skills and the things that they're going to need to be successful when football is no longer in their life.
Now, Coach, here you are. Season's on. You started out with South Broward. You beat South Broward 50-7. Then you go to Stoneman Douglas. You beat Stoneman Douglas 41-22. You go to Creek. You know, you get your guys have a little struggle. But then you go back to Golden Gates, and you beat them 39-0. Ely, you beat 14-12. Now, you get ready to play Dillard, which over the past years, this game hasn't had the relevancy that it has in past years because there's nothing on the line before this meeting because there was no district. Those two wasn't in the same district. Now you guys are in the same district. Not only the same district, you're about a mile and a half away from each other. These kids play with each other in the Pop Warner leagues. Now, What's the atmosphere around Boyd Anderson when you know you're getting ready to face Dillard High School?
Well, I think the atmosphere within the school is really good. I think one thing that our kids have done that I'm so proud of them, they've gone to their teachers and letting their teachers know we're announcing everything on the loudspeaker, all the success we're having, everything that we're doing positive. So it's bringing that school spirit back. But from the inside of it, from what we're doing as a football program, we're just doing our routine. We're staying with our routine. We're executing and focusing on the things that we want to focus on to be successful. Nothing changed for us. I think if you get out of your routine or you put so much emphasis in different places, it may get the kids out of character. We don't want to play out of character. We just want to win the discipline battle and the physical battle and let everything else take care of itself.
Okay, Coach, this Kelsey, chiming in with you. With all of the things going on this week, and I'm pretty sure it's probably going to get intense this week leading up to the game, and then understanding where you have put in time and effort into the program to get to this big district game between two local schools that are close together but then have a lot of built-up publicity to this particular game. What do you see as being some of the key things that you need to do or your team needs to do this week to come away with a big victory?
We just need to play. We just need to be who we are. We don't need to, you know, overemphasize anything. All we need to do is emphasize our fundamentals, doing what we're asked to do by our coaching staff, playing our plan assignment, football on defense, executing our assignments on offense. I think anytime you go into a big game like this here, what I don't want to do and what I've talked to my coaches all weekend about not doing is putting added pressure on the kids. All our kids are just learning how to win. So I don't agree with putting extra added pressure on them. Put them and keep them in the environment that they're used to. Teach them their assignments. Overemphasize the fundamentals and playing assignment football and let the chips fall where they may. I think we're a pretty good football team when we do what we're being asked to do. And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to try to do nothing more, nothing less.
Okay, now, Coach Brown, I know real quick we had talked briefly throughout last week. And you told me about some of the things that you do for your program and for your kids as a added bonus to give them incentive to do well. Coach, we want to know what's the team meal for this week? What's the incentive? Got to beat the Panthers, Coach. Come on, tell me what's on the meal. What's on the menu?
Hey, I believe you treat them like kings. They play like kings. After the game, you know, the one thing that I think, you know, that I learned is, you know, a lot of our kids are not like on the up echelon level of with monetary things. So what we try to do as a coaching staff, and we've gotten all the parents together. So after every game, we feed our kids a really good meal. Last week's meal was yellow rice and beans, coleslaw, oxtails, baked chicken, barbecue chicken, and macaroni and cheese. This week we'll have rice, green beans, cabbage. We'll have baked chicken and jerk chicken and either salad or mac and cheese again.
Coach, wait,
but what we try to do,
you giving them all that. I'm trying to see how
meal.
They gonna play a football game within an hour or two with all that on their stomach. You know what they say now? You know, after you done fed us, we ready to go to sleep now.
Wait, is that the after meal,
after
Coach?
Game,
or that's
sir.
The before meal.
That's after the game.
Okay, all right, okay. Now, Coach, let's get into a little bit of something else, because there's another part of your life that is right now is flying high. It's considered probably out of one of the two people that are the best in the league right now playing football. Let's talk a little bit about your son, Antonio Brown. If people don't know, this is the father of Antonio Brown. Now, look at week one when he played the Rams, 11 reception, 108 yards. You look at when he played the 49ers, two. He had 9 receptions, 195 yards. Week 3 against the Patriots, 9 receptions, 133 yards. He's already put up, he already had 29 receptions, 436 yards on the year. Coach, what is it like when you sit and watch your own son on Sundays?
Well, we talk every Monday, and when he calls me on Monday, he wants to get an input on what I see and where he can get better. The one thing that I stress that he's doing a really good job is he's staying humble. You know, always I tell him two stories. One story I tell him is my father worked 25 years at the post office and he never missed a day of work. Okay, so wow. What that means is my father set the tone. His grandfather set the tone on how we're going to conduct ourselves and how we're going to go to work every day. We're going to go to work and we're going to work harder than anybody out there and everything we're doing. That's what we do. And then I hit him with a story, Tony, that I don't know if you remember this story. I never told you, but you was there when this happened. We were scrimmaging the Oakland Raiders, and we were up in Flagstaff. All right? We were up in Flagstaff, and you were there with me. And what I did was I was second string right behind Ernie Jones. I had made the team the previous year. Our wide receiver coach called me to go in the game. I thought I had arrived. So I had took my equipment off because that's what the veteran guys had done. And when I took my equipment off, they put another kid in, a kid named Anthony Edwards. They put him in, went and caught the corner route versus the Oakland Raiders, and we won that scrimmage that we had with them at Flagstaff. Yes. Was Tony, I don't know if you remember, but the next day I got cut.
Okay.
So what I do is I share that story with him, and I tell him he has to stay humble and keep working hard. I don't care what monetary things he's receiving. At the end of the day, the foundation is who we are and what we are. And that's we're going to work harder than anybody else and everybody else. We're going to be the first one on the field. We're going to be last one off the field. That's the foundation of what me and him talk about. And we talk about, you know, is he giving his time to God as well? Other than that, I really don't, you know, God has blessed him. God has made the foundation for our family on how we should conduct ourselves and what we should do. So he knows that part. I just make sure those little simple detailed things are still in his mind. He's not getting away from those because of the monetary things that he's receiving at the job he's at.
And Coach, listen, as I stated to you earlier when we brought you on, Coach, I am I'm excited about what you're doing with Boyd Anderson High School. You Coach, you keep doing what you're doing because the kids
turning it around.
Oh man, the kids are loving you because of all throughout Broward County, coaches are talking about a great job that you're doing with Boyd Anderson. Coach, I want to continue to bring you on the Tony Sands Show. We're gonna revisit you in about two more weeks because in two more weeks after Dillard, you'll have Coral Springs and then you'll play Boynton. And I want to bring you back on the Tony Sands Show because I know Dillard is a district game, and that's one of the games that you want to win, not only for district rights, for bragging rights, and just to let everybody know that this program is turning around. Coach, hey, thank you for coming here on the show, and my pleasure to talk with you and get the knowledge of what you are doing.
Thanks, Coach Brown.
Hey, I want to thank you guys, and I also want to let you guys know, hey, I'm not doing this by myself. I have a really good coaching staff that works hard to help at everything we're doing with our kids. The choice I made with my coaching staff was first coaches that's going to care about the kids. And they're caring for the kids, taking the kids home, loving the kids up. They need something to eat. They'll provide whatever they need from them. So that they have also allowed the program to change as it is. I don't want to take all the credit because it's not just me. I have a really good coaching staff that I'm so fortunate to have. And I just want to thank you guys for giving me an opportunity to come on your show. Tony, you know I've always been a big fan of yours, still is a big fan. Keep doing what you guys are doing.
Same here.
And I would love to come back in 2 weeks and have a good
You'll
time with you guys.
Now, Coach, now listen, because, you know, next Monday, we'll start meeting at Tilt to Kilt, and we're going to have football, high school football night also there. So I would like to invite you and your staff and your kids out. On the night that we bring you on, we want to bring you and your family. What I mean by you and your family, your immediate family, but also your extended family, meaning your football team and Boyd Anderson as your family.
Perfect.
We're going to welcome them to Tilt to Kilt. So, hey, Coach, my pleasure.
All right, Coach, have my field passes ready now.
I got you. You know I got you now. You know I got you guys. Thank you so much, man. And you guys keep doing the good work y'all doing for these kids in the community.
You too.
We're trying, Coach. Thank you, Coach, for doing Tony Sands. Hey, that was Coach Eddie Brown, the father of Antonio Brown. As you can see, hey, he's did a great job.
Heck of a coach. Heck of a coach. Turning around a big time program. A lot of tradition in that program. Happy to see it come back to Broward County as one of the top public school programs. We need that. We need that in Broward County as a strong program because there's so much tradition, so much in the alumni base that comes from the community from that particular program. So, you know, two thumbs up to that group and continued success and hope they do very well here going throughout the season.
Coming back here on the Tony Sands Show before we go to break, Mr. Michael Sam is making some accusation that probably he should have not come out before this time. But stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as we dig a little bit into Michael Sam. Should he have come out and stated that he was gay? And is that the reason why he's not in the NFL? Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as we go to break. Welcome back here to the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. As you got a chance to hear Coach Eddie Brown talk about what he's doing with the Boyd Anderson program and how he's changing the culture of Boyd Anderson from losing to winning and the things that he's doing. But as we talked about Michael Sam a little bit before we went off and stated, should I have came out and stated that I am gay before I made the roster? Stay tuned here. We're going to talk about that later on the second half of the show. But coming to the show, we have Cardner Gibbons, all-star quarterback, Carmine Scarfone, joining the Tony Sands Show. Carmine, welcome to the show.
How you doing,
Thanks,
Carmine?
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Thank you.
What's going on?
Appreciate it.
What's going on, man? You guys got an off week. you needed that off week, a well-due off week to get you ready for this week's game. Tell me some of the things you guys are doing to prepare you guys for this week's game.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, last week it was definitely a huge win for us coming off of Miami-Jackson, you know, and especially having this bye week preparing for Coconut Creek. It's been huge for us. I think the biggest part has just been the mental aspect of it, just watching film, studying, seeing all the different things that a Creek does, you know. So, I mean, I've just been watching a ton of film with all my coaches, and the entire team has just been really locked in and dialed in mentally, and I think it's been really helpful for us. And you know, another thing is just getting healthy, and all the guys that had those bangs and bruises, you know, it's been really helpful to have this week off and just really take care of our bodies and everything. So I mean, it's been a great week, and now it was a really good Monday practice, and now it's just getting fully ready for Creek on Friday night.
Okay, now you say you're getting ready for Creek. I know Coach Buck over there is getting your guys fired up. Outside of the physical aspect of getting ready for Creek, what are some of the mental things that Coach the Buck have you guys doing, you know, when you're getting ready? What you're getting ready to see?
Getting ready to see, I mean, like, Creek likes to disguise a lot of things, you know. I mean, just watching film, like Coach Dubuck has been having us come in every morning, like about an hour and a half before school every morning, especially these last 2 weeks, watching film on Creek, watching every little thing that they do, and it's been the entire team. So I mean, you know, just really seeing what they're doing on film and watching every single game. It was Boyd Anderson 2 weeks ago. It was American Heritage the week before. So I mean, you know, just watching how they play against every single team, and I think we have a very good idea of what they're doing on defense. And you know, I think it's been really helpful for us to come in every morning and watch what's going on film. And I think this bye week has really helped us in that aspect for sure.
Now, Creek came in this season as one of the highly rated teams here in Broward County, here in the state of Florida. You know, it goes to Atlanta, Carmen. They went to Atlanta, and they won their 41-0 on the road. They come back, and they lose to Flanagan, 21-14, but then they play Boyd Anderson and win the Boyd Anderson 46-21 and lose to American Heritage 41-20.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you're taking from the games to where Flanagan beat him and American Heritage beat him? Are you adding some of those things to you guys' repertoire to give you that edge also?
Yeah, I mean, just seeing, you know, that they came close to Flanagan but lost by a lot to Heritage. You know, it shows that they're a very beatable team. You know, they have some really great guys in their team. You know, but hey, I think we have some very good guys in our team too. You know, so I really think it's just all about how we come in with our attitude and how we're really gonna approach this game mentally. So I mean, if we come in with the attitude that hey, we're just coming in and we're ready to knock some heads off, I think it's going to be a great game for us, you know. But we just got to stay locked in this entire week, and but I mean, seeing the talent they have and how they kept up against Flanagan, and how in the first half, you know, they kept up with Heritage, you know, it shows that they're a very good team. But you know, I think if we're moving the ball early and we establish a great tempo, I think the game could seriously fall in our favor.
Okay, Carmine, how you doing? It's Kelsey.
Coach Kelsey, what's going on?
Nothing much. I wanted to get this side of things with a big game coming up against Creek. Once you guys come out of the bye week here, big game coming up against Creek. What do you tell your players from a motivational standpoint, with you being in a leadership position, what do you tell your guys from a motivational standpoint as to, okay, we got a big win against Jackson. Guys, I think now we get into the grind of our district schedule. What are you telling them, you know, as far as where you guys can go now, getting a little bit of momentum going into the district schedule?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just coming off of a huge win last week against Miami Jackson. You know, I think we were projected to lose by about 20 to like 27 points. So I mean that win really set a lot of things up for us. So I mean, you know, the main thing I can just tell them is, this is only the beginning. You know, it was our first district game, and now we're 1-0 in our district, and coming to a big game on Coconut Creek. This is a big game for both of us. You know, because I mean, if Coconut Creek loses this game, it's going to hold a serious impact on the rest of the season for them, and it's a big game for us too. But I think the main thing I can just tell them is, since we beat Jackson last week and no one expected us to do that, we can do the same thing against Coconut Creek. We can do the same thing against American Heritage. We can do the same thing against every single team in our district, because we have the talent to do that. And all we got to do is execute on every single play. And if we do that, then we're going to be in great shape.
Right, right. Sounds good.
Okay. Come on. Hey, listen. It was a pleasure to have you on here on the Tony Sands Show, bro. Listen, you do your thing. You guys got a big one ahead of you. You are the leader of that team, and you got to make sure that those guys are following your lead. In that case, you guys go out and handle business. I know it's going to be an exciting one playing. It's a district game. You already have won one district game in Jackson, man. Hey, you do your thing, and we're going to have you back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we're going to be joining you when you come back at the Tilt the Kilt. That's the restaurant, Tilt the Kilt. Guys, we'll be joining ourselves. Tony Sands Show will be Monday night live from Tilt the Kilt. We're going to bring a lot of high school guys out and let them enjoy some things. Carmine, hey, take it easy.
Tell all right, Carmine, take care.
And the fans.
Hey, thanks a lot for everything, Tony. I appreciate it. Also, I just want to give a big shout-out to our kicker, Matt McLaughlin. Had a huge kick for us last week, so that's it.
Hey, bro.
Good job. Way to get it in.
There we go.
He got you the win. Hey, keep going, bro. We looking for you to have bigger things out of you.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Hey, that's Mr. Scarfone himself. Kind of giving spectacular quarterback, giving a shout-out to the kicker, because it was a 3-0 game. And all you got to do is have a point, you win.
That's all you need. If they don't score, then you score. Hey,
you win. And that's what happened. And a lot of people wasn't expecting them to beat
Miami
Jackson team, a team that came in flying high to Dade County.
Definitely.
Here at Cardinal Gibbons, struggling a little bit. And all of a sudden, guess what? Carmine leads his troops down to Transpower Stadium. Not an easy stadium for Broward County teams to play.
Nowhere in Dade. So, you know, Broward teams struggle down once they cross that line. It's something about crossing that line where they tend to struggle a little bit. So that was a big win for them. Very big win.
Makes it hard to do. Guys, hey, this is the health hour of the Tony Sands Show. Each and every week, we're going to bring you something to make you healthy. This week, it is a thing that lights the world. When you say level and you want to take your body to another level, this is the product for you. Level here on the Tony Sands Show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Anthony. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. Anytime I can find someone that's trying to change the life of people, trying to level their life off to where it needs to be, trying to give them that youth that they once had, because we all chasing that youth. And in order to get that, you're giving them a product that will help them reach their goal. Coach, give me a little bit about your product and give me some things that makes this product different than others.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I mean, I found out about the product the same way that just about everybody else does. You know, I got a call from a close friend of mine that just wanted to just kind of just share with me that, you know, hey, they found something that worked for them. And you know, I was kind of skeptical as usual because we've already been around the block. We've already heard a lot of things, and everybody promises a quality product. But yet, you know, a lot of companies, they basically just have a great story that goes along with their product. But this, you know, this product with Lavelle, it actually, the story is really the customers, because the customers' testimonies is really makes it grow. You know, Lavelle actually basically put together a very very high quality, you know, saying plant-based nutritional supplement system. It just basically infuses with your body to allow your body to fill those nutritional gaps, like as you mentioned, that, you know, we kind of depleted over the years. I mean, we're not 16 to 20 years old anymore. So, you know, our bodies don't recover the way they used to. And, you know, like I said, the Thrive Experience System is not some store brand, and I'm not knocking anything that's in stores, but it's not just some store brand nutritional supplement. It's a very high quality supplement system, but it's not for the elite status, you know, people as well. I mean, I'll say only because, like I said, it's for the basic, you know, working individuals just like myself and everybody else that's, you know, out there listening on your show right now. If they're really looking to get to that point where it helps them to fill those nutritional gaps, to help with the fatigue, helps with, you know, weight management, joint support, inflammation support, you know, just the same things, whether you're 18 to 80. I mean, the Thrive Experience is for you. You know, I can just tell you, you know, like I said, stories tell, facts, you know, saying, sell. But, you know, my thing was when I got into the Thrive Experience, you know, I was, you know, a working manager. I basically was, you know, working 10 to 12-hour shifts in the hot sun, just like anybody else who's really just trying to basically do what they got to do for their family. But I can just tell you, at the end of the day, man, I was just totally wiped out. I was more of a bedside manager rather than a father to my teenage son. And, you know, I'm just home in bed, and all I could do is just yell from the bedroom and make sure he's doing what he needs to be doing, and that was it. When I started my Thrive Experience, which is very simple, I mean, it's very simple to just implement it into your lifestyle. I mean, it's three individually manufactured products, being our capsules, our lifestyle mix, as well as the DFT. And I tell you, that very first morning when I took my 1 to 2 capsules on the empty stomach, basically took my lifestyle mix and mixed it with water that morning, but you can mix it with water or milk. And then I just took that down and basically just slapped on my DFT, which looks just like a little sticker. Ran out the door, and, you know, I thought nothing of it. I really was just assuming it would take maybe a week or two before I would notice a difference. But I could just tell you, I was a day oneer. We don't always assume that everybody's going to be a day oneer, but it really made a difference. I mean, just my energy and focus was very, very evident on that first day. And, I mean, my fourth day, some issues I was dealing with discomfort-wise, you know, just from old, you know, injuries. I mean, I no longer had those discomforts. And, you know, it started really making a big, big difference, because then it all of a sudden allowed me to start having that appetite control where I didn't crave that survival food that we try to get on a day-to-day basis that, you know, tries to get us through the day with the, you know, the heavy loaded sugars and all the other stuff. So, you know, totally it made a difference to me in my life. And it does the same thing for many, many people across the country. You know, we always tell everybody, don't take our word for it, because we can never tell you what it would do for you. But if you actually check out our Facebook fan page, I mean, there is loaded with testimonies of well over 400,000 people all over the country that's, you know, now sharing what Thrive has actually been able to do for them. If the person, you know, if you don't have Facebook, you can always go to facebook.com/levelbrands, and that's BRAND with an S at the end. Or if you have Facebook, you can go to Lavelle, it's LE-VEL, and just take a look at the testimonies. Don't take Anthony's word for it. Look for yourself. Do your due diligence. Read 10 to 15 of those stories. I'm telling you, there's no way you're not going to see somebody in one of those stories that you know, if not even yourself. So,
now, you know,
like I said, with that,
Anthony, now you know that's what everybody's looking for, that fountain of youth. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. Everybody want to know what is it going to take, because, like it says, we're getting older. The foods that we once had is not the food that we have now. And the foods that we have now are draining us of our energy because it's so processed. Fully processed. So you're telling me, you say you was a day one. You got tired of being sick and tired. So you tried levels, and it took the tide out of Anthony's stride and made him what a star when it comes to level. Anthony, now tell me also, you know, there's things that also, not from a residual aspect, people can also make money from this product. Am I right?
Well, yes, they can. I mean, and we know not everybody wants to be a promoter. You have a choice. I mean, it's free to basically be a part of Lavelle. You know, you get your free link where you can actually take a look at the information. You don't have to be in a rush. Nobody's going to ask you for a credit card to take a look at the information. But Lavelle actually allows you to take a look at that information for free to get comfortable, ask questions. But at the same time, for those individuals that may be interested or may be looking for an opportunity, they do have a very, you know, saying rewarding rewards plan. And I call it a rewards plan because it's not really an opportunity because we don't sell Thrive. We just share it. Because just like you said, I mean, myself, I wasn't looking for an opportunity. I really wasn't even looking for the product. I was actually trying to keep a friend from making the mistake of getting involved with another one of these companies. So actually, just because I tried it, it worked. And I mean, it just took me to another level.
Hey, like you heard it here on the Tony Sands show, Anthony is saying that level took him to another level. And if you're trying to get in contact and see how you can get the product or see how you can become a seller, you can contact Jeannie Cross. That's JeannieCross.LE-VEL.com. Or you can contact her on her personal number. You know when a person give out their personal number, a product has got to be good. You can call it 954-818-5922. That's 954-818-5922 here at the Tony Sands Show. We're talking health, and this is how each and every week you will get that health product that's going to make you good. But I'm standing by what levels because it's going to take it to another level. Anthony, hey, thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show here, man.
Thanks for calling in.
You guys come by one day when we're on live on location and bring us some of them products that we could share with our guests.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Anytime.
All right. Thank you. Joining the Tony Sands Show. That was the level. Anthony taking it to another level.
Got
to
stay fit. Got to stay on top of health.
But now, hey, we're talking health, but let's talk man thing. Let's talk football. Joining the Tony Sands Show is my main man, Mr. B, out of Texas. My Texas insider. Going to give me the
Bills.
Mr. B, let's jump into this thing.
Bills.
When I say jump into it, I want to jump into a big time with you. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show.
What's going on?
Hey, not too much. How y'all fellas doing today?
Doing great.
It's a lot of things going on. I feel real good because I'm able to talk to you here on the Tony Sands Show. But B, let's get into some things. I told my guests earlier, and we're going to jump into this a quick sneak peek here on the Tony Sands Show. I told my guest, Michael Sam, said, I still would be in the NFL if I had not come out. What's your take on that?
This is true. In my opinion, I feel like at the time when he was coming out of college, somebody got in his ear and probably told him, you know, you'll probably make more money off endorsements alone by coming out and being this gay or homosexual, you know, spokesperson for the gay community. And, you know, it sounded like a good idea at first, but once he started to figure out that NFL teams were not ready to basically open their locker rooms up to, I guess, openly gay athletes, it backfired on him. And so this is why he's where he's at right now, which is, you know, CFL, can't make an NFL roster, a camp roster. You know, I think that all attributes to him coming out and letting the world know that he was an openly gay athlete. I felt like if he would have kept that to himself and, you know, made it to the NFL first, then came out, it would have worked out far better than him, far better for him than it has worked out for him thus far.
And that's what he said. But he said also, now, I don't think he wanted to come out at the time from what he stated in the article with Dan Patrick and on the Dan Patrick Show on Friday. He stated that some people at the Senior Bowl, some reporters came up to him was asking, hey, we want to cover your story when you come out. We want to be the exclusive preacher to cover. So at that point, he was kind of pressured into coming out because he didn't want them to tell his story. He wanted to be the person to tell his own story. In that situation, a guy like yourself, would you have still waited or would you have went ahead and went and brought it out? Because if not, somebody's going to tell the story. It was getting out.
I mean, there's rumors all day. I mean, I guess his is not a rumor, you know, that he's a homosexual, but he could have, you know, I don't think he had to come out just because he wanted to tell his story because he really is the only one that knows his true story.
It's true.
Like a writer could have came out and spoke or wrote whatever they felt like they
Wait a minute.
Possibly.
Wait a minute. That's not true, though, because the guys at Missouri knew.
I mean, they knew, but how much do they know his everyday personal business, his life, who he's dated, when did it happen, when did he decide to become a homosexual? Has he felt like that since he was 3, 4, or 13? You know, they don't know all of this unless somebody he's spoken to. He's told them that. You know, they don't know everything. That's what I mean. But if he wanted to come out and tell his story, he would have had, he had every opportunity to come out and tell his story. Now, writers and ex-players, teammates could have came out and said what they thought. But, you know, they really were not the ones living the life that he's living. Like, they, all they can do is know, all they know is what the, he's told them or what they seen mm-hmm. with their own eyes. That's it. You know, they don't really know the background of, you know, how he became, you know. So that's what I mean. Like, he could have, you know, kept it to himself for the time being, went to the NFL, whatever, disputed against whatever the rumors or accusations could have been. And then when he decided to come out, he could have came out. But it didn't go that way.
Now, yep. But you said one thing, changing his eyes. But I know what my listeners' eyes saw on Sunday. And you know what I'm talking about. On Sunday.
A lot of coaches said that he didn't have the skills.
You jumped out. But I ain't talking about skills. I'm talking about them Dallas Cowboys. Do they have skills? Do Dallas Cowboys have the skills I'm talking about? Do the Dallas Cowboys. Now, listen, they jump out to a 14-0 lead. You're thinking, and they're pounding. They're pounding Atlanta.
Man.
And all of a sudden, we come after halftime. And, Bills, what happened after halftime of that Atlanta Dallas game?
Oh, man. You know,
come on, give me the
I'm
insight.
Still scratching my head a little bit, but I figured it out, you know. And it wasn't hard for Atlanta to figure out what the Cowboys were doing also. First of all, Brandon Weeden attempted no yards, no passes. I can't remember him attempting any passes over 20 yards. So, therefore, he never challenged the corners on the outside or those safeties. Everything was check down, check down, check down, check down. Or check to the middle of the field to either Cole Beasley or Jason Witten. He never attempted any passes to any of his outside targets. You can't win a football game offensively like that. You know, what all Atlanta did was bring their safeties down. They already knew there wasn't going to be, he wasn't going to come up with, they dared him to throw the ball deep. And did he throw the ball deep one time? No, not one time did he ever attempt to pass over 20 yards. So, that's what happened. And then Matt Ryan got hired. You know, Matt Ryan is still one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. And the Cowboys defense not great. So, you know, I didn't expect for them to sit down and hold Julio Jones down to one of the best receivers in the NFL. I wasn't expecting them to stop them. Now, what I didn't expect was for Freeman to run for 130 yards. Now, I didn't expect that. 3 touchdowns. I didn't expect that at all. I don't think the Cowboys did either.
B, but I'm going to tell you guys, we're live here on the Tony Sands Show, live from on-set location at the Zoo Gym Port, 27th Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. You're talking to my Texas insider, Mr. Owens, to show each and every giving us the inside on the Cowboys. Now, you talk about Julio Jones. You brought up Julio Jones. Julio exposed the Cowboys' weakness.
Yes, say it.
And what's the weakness you think, Tony?
I mean, he can't expose the D-line because he don't play on the offensive line.
It doesn't have to do with the D-line.
Did he expose the secondary of the Cowboys?
I mean, the Cowboys' secondary has been exposed for the last 5 years. So I don't think that they can be exposed any more than they've been exposed from Calvin Johnson's 321-yard receiving by himself. They've been exposed, and they don't have the best cornerback in Orlando Scandrick, which he's not the best cornerback in the NFL, but he's a pretty good cornerback. So I would have to say the defensive line did not – they didn't get one sack. I mean, I take that back. They got one sack yesterday, and it was by a linebacker in Sean Lee. The defensive line never got to Matt Ryan yesterday, not one time. Even when they blitzed, they never got to him. And when you blitz and you got Julio – and that exposed secondary that you were talking about, big plays happen, and we've seen them.
But now tell me this. Is there any type of ruffling going on out of the Cowboys organization that there's a chance that they might change quarterback? Because they did sign one going into this week.
Jason Garrett said with his own mouth that he's not satisfied with the passing attack that they, you know, that they had last week. Yo, Brandon Whedon was 22 for 26, but 225 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Now, the efficiency was there, but the plays were not. Like when you play in a quarterback position, you have to – your team is behind you. You have to put them in position to make play, you know. And I just feel like he did. And the question now is, do you start Matt Castle? Maybe Matt Castle gives you a better opportunity to win a ball game. He's been in the position before as a backup behind Tom Brady. He came in, won 10 games, won 9 games. And now, do you think he has the same Matt?
And to talk about plays, D. Talk about plays. We're talking about plays. There was another Texas team that didn't make the play when it counted. And that coach, the pressure and the heat is heating up on him. Let's switch gears and let's talk about that other team in Texas. Not the Texans, but the Texas Longhorns with Charlie Strong. Man. Has the seat got hot?
The seat? Oh, the seat's on fire. Like, it's on fire. It's there. But the last 2 weeks, you cannot put those special team mishaps on Charlie Strong because his team has been in position to – tie the game up both times, or not in this position. Well, the last game wasn't positioned to tie the game up. We basically to punt the ball away and play defense and hope that you could hold them and go into overtime. And then the week before, field goal kicker just happened to just shank an extra point, which you never expect to happen. You never expect that to happen when you when it's an extra point. No, just an extra point. It's not.
I understand all that you're saying, but you said one thing that we can't put that on him. Why not? You got to prepare kids to be in that situation. That's what the people are going to say.
That is true. You do have to prepare them mentally for those situations, but you're dealing with a freshman punter. That pressure was there for him. It was there. And I don't know how he dropped. I could only imagine what Charlie Strong had to say, what he had to say to himself when he got back to his office that night. And he was just like, I can't win for losing. Like, my team fighting hard. They're battling back. You know, we showing that we're young, but we still have talent. And we have situations like this one. It's not the team. Like, the team, they didn't miss a blocking assignment. You know, everybody else played their part, and then it came down to one specific player makes a mistake. I mean, I don't know how you put that. It's like a wide receiver dropping the pass. You know, game-winning touchdown. You can't really, you know, fault Charlie Strong for the receiver dropping that pass. You can't fault Charlie Strong for that punter dropping the snap. You can't fault Charlie Strong for that kicker missing the field goal. He's not the one out there kicking them field goals, you know, or catching that punt, or catching the snap. Whatever. He's not the one doing that, so I don't know how they can blame him. Yeah, he is the head coach. Yeah, he's going to take the blame at the end of the day. But somebody that really knows football, that really knows football and looking at this game, you can obviously see that it was not Charlie Strong's fault. Like, he's coaching on the sideline, not even thinking about, you know, that. He's coaching, getting what's the defense I'm going to throw out here. Then all of a sudden, he look up on the big screen, and he got his punter, you know, running, trying to kick the ball and kick it out of bounds as quickly as possible. You know, I don't know how you blame Charlie. I don't know.
Bibbs, not only with Texas struggling and not being able to get over the hump and make things happen, his program is on the way down, but you got some other big programs there in Texas that are, man, taking, you know, some major strides. The big game against Texas Tech and TCU, 55-52. What do you think about that? And then Kyle Allen leading Texas A&M over Arkansas in that close victory in Texas Stadium. What do you think about those two teams?
Well, I'm gonna tell you about. I'm gonna go with the first one, the Texas Tech and the TCU game. Honestly, I was disappointed. It was an awesome game, but I was disappointed more so in TCU because I felt like I should have seen more from them defensively. I did not expect Texas Tech to, you know, put up as many points as they did. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, Texas Tech is known for scoring the football, but TCU's supposed to be the number 4 ranked team, number 3, however you want to chop it up,
right,
ranked team in the country. There's no way you're supposed to give up that many points. And for some reason, they just haven't shown up like I thought they would showing up this year as opposed to how they finished the season last year. I thought they would be as hot as they were last year, playing offense very well, playing great defense under Gary Patterson. He's a defensive coach. But for some reason, the defensive side of the ball, they've been somewhat not as close or not as good as they would have been in the past.
They were a year ago, correct.
Yeah, they haven't been, and they really got lucky because that pass was obviously, by Boykins, was obviously too hard and too high for anybody to catch. I don't think the great Jerry Rice would have caught that ball. And it just so happened to get tipped, and the player that was standing behind him was alert enough to catch the ball and get 1 foot down. Great play by him, but that was lucky. They should have lost in Lubbock. And anybody knows that Lubbock is not an easy place to go in and win in. So I do give them credit for going in there and getting a W in a close, tight game. But I just not impressed.
That's what they need. They need that, got their win in. Hey, B, each and every week, man, we're excited to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. We'll be calling you back next week. We've been to close out the show here live from the Zoo Gym, 1427 East Commercial Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. Come in and the staff will treat you right. Kelsey, hey, we're closing it out. Another great week. Next week, guys, you will catch us at Tilt the Kilt in Fort Lauderdale off Andrews Avenue, a restaurant. Downtown Fort Lauderdale on hand. Hey, it's been exciting. It's been another week here on the Tony Sands Show. Continue to thrive and continue to get knowledge. That's why you listen to the Tony Sands Show.
Hey, we're out of here. Good, our fans, good job for listening in. Way to follow us. Keep up with us. Like you said, we'll be at the Tilted Kilt making things happen. We got high school coming in next week, and we will be live at the Tilted Kilt. Good environment. We will look forward to being there. Look forward to having you join in. See you later. Peace.